Father, I thank you again for another hour of power, an opportunity to come before the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, as the entrance of your word will bring light to us today and understanding. We ask, O Lord, give us the grace to submit our hearts and our minds to the Holy Spirit, to hear what he is saying at this time to the churches. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Total consecration, sold out for Christ. Well, this is on the heels of yesterday's powerful room on consecration. You know, so Jesus gave this declaration in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Said, no man. And this is where we're picking it up today. No man having put his hands on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. So, you know, we're going to have to make up our minds is basically what Jesus is saying. You know, because in the day when Jesus was out there gathering disciples and teaching the kingdom and so forth, I mean, people loved some, you know, the general people, they loved to hear his word. They, you know, but they would, you know, and there are some that wanted to be his disciple, but, you know, they always have one thing or the other. So let's read this story from Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, that's someone that really wanted to follow the Lord. And Jesus said unto him, well, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. So Jesus is giving a disclaimer that, look, following me is not going to be necessarily, you know, easy, because, you know, I'm not, you know, here or there, you know. So you know, but we don't know what happened to that man, whether he did actually follow or not. You know, the story doesn't go on to tell us, but he turned around to another and told him, follow me. And then that one said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever thought of that saying, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You know, now, the kingdom of God was always uppermost in the mind of Christ. You know, go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Notice, preach the kingdom of God. That's what he's told them to do. That's powerful stuff. And another one said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And so Jesus said unto that one, well, once you make your mind to go forward, but then you go backwards, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. So you put your hands on the plow and then you look back, well, then you are not fit for the kingdom. And, you know, so what does that mean? Putting your hands on the plow and looking back. Well, we know what the plow is that they use for plowing the fields and stuff. They'll have sometimes cattle yoked together, and then they'll have this thing, you know, tied behind it, you know, dragged through the fields to plow the fields and so forth. And Jesus said, well, you're doing that work, and then you put, you know, you keep looking back. You don't need to look back. Just look forward. You know, the one, what you got more places to plow. But if you keep looking back, well, then you're not even fit, Jesus said, for the kingdom. And that is something that is really a lesson that we need to learn. You know, we need to learn that. There were many things, you know, the Bible, Jesus even said, well, remember Lot's wife. You know, she was one that looked back, you know, after they were told, get out of there and don't look back and so forth. But she looked back and it didn't turn out too well for her. You know, so the lesson today is once we put our hand into under the plow, we cannot look back. Luke 17 and 32 is a stark reminder of someone that looked back, was supposed to escape for their lives. But she looked back. I don't know what she was looking back at. Maybe she was still thinking in her heart all the things that I left behind, you know, and so forth. I mean, her mind was still back there. You know, and Jesus said, get out. I mean, the angel of the Lord told him, get out of there. Escape to the hills for your life. And she started going, but, you know, she looked back. She stopped, actually, and looked back. And wonder what would happen to that place. But they said, look, don't even try. Don't even look back. Well, I don't know if it was radiation or whatever caught up with her. She became a pillar of salt, you know, and, that's a sad story. Lot lost his wife that day. His grown kids lost their mother. And sad story because she looked back. So Jesus warned us, don't you do that now. Now I want to talk about, you know, some more on this lesson of consecration. But I want to bring, you know, the angle, another couple of angles here today to look at it. You heard me speak multiple times about how God gave instructions for them to lay out the temple. And there is a part of that that depicts total consecration. Well, and it's also total concentration at the same time. It's when you get into that most holy place. There's nothing else there. It's totally concentrated on him, totally consecrated for him, totally sold out for him. But it's only you and the Lord in that place. And there are a couple of places, you know, that you're going to find yourself all alone. But that's part of your consecration. There's a call for total consecration, total abandon, whether anyone follows you or not. Christ found himself in a place called Gethsemane. And his most trusted disciples, the closest ones to him, you know, they did not join in helping him pray. You know, they were sleeping. And Jesus, he urged them to pray with him. Pray with me, he said. And just 1 hour, just watch with me, you know. Well, they didn't. You can read that story in Matthew chapter 26. Let's pick some of that story up. You know, he asked the disciples, would you pray with me? You know, just, you know, an hour or so. But they didn't. You know, they fell asleep. And Jesus was all alone. He said, look, wait here while I go and pray yonder. You know, and then he came back and he found out that they were sleeping. He said, could you not watch with me for just an hour? You'd better watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Matthew 26, you can read the story from verses 36 through about 46. And then he went and prayed some more and then came back and so forth, you know. And you know, I was thinking one time, I said, well, I mean, it took Jesus, I don't know how, he said, watch with me on an hour. And he went back and forth three times. So maybe it took him a couple of hours. Maybe if they had watched with him and strengthened him, might have taken him 1 hour and he would have got the job done. because his soul was really heavy and he was dealing with this thing that he was facing, you know. But the two places that you're going to have to make up your mind, you will experience your own Gethsemane, where you're all alone, nobody else with you. It's you and the Lord. You know, you may say, well, pray with me. You may find nobody who will pray with you, especially when the call of God is heavy upon your life. It will be a moment when it seems as if you're all alone, but you're never all alone, but it feels like that. And he felt like Jesus was all alone. They wouldn't pray. They were sleeping. And he was going through the greatest battle of his life in his mind. Because his mind was saying, you can't go through with that. You're going to be darkness. You're going to be separated from the Father. You know, he's going to put sin upon you. The Father is going to turn his back against you. You know, and he's thinking, is there any other way? But in his spirit, he's saying, well, you know, I know this has to be done. Nevertheless, Lord, thy will be done. You know, and these people, they was, you know, they didn't pray with the Lord. That's the one place he was there to, you know, all alone. Another place you'll be all alone with the Lord is in this most holy place. Before you get there, though, God said to Abraham, I called Abraham alone. And, you know, the call of God on your life for consecration is all alone. I mean, yes, we share with one another, we encourage one another, we admonish one another, but God's call on your life is you. And God called Abraham alone, but he asked Lot to tag along, because kindness of his heart, taking care of his nephew whose father was already dead. But that didn't work out for him until they were separated and Abraham was all alone again. You know, and then God said to him, now you come out here and see what I want to do for you. Now, in the case of the structure of the temple, though, we see a depiction of only one man going into this most holy place. And we see how there are multitudes of people as you traverse this journey from the profane place, which is where Gentiles couldn't even get inside the court, onto the general populace, where you have the generality of all the people and the numbers are reducing. And the most holy place that reduced even further, you got the priests and so forth, the Levites go in there. And then you have, you know, the most holy place where only the high priest could go, you know, and so on. But when you get there, it's complete concentration and total consecration. Well, let's look at some other consecrated calls that God had on some people on their lives. We saw Jesus, the greatest example, and we heard about that yesterday. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 17, this amazing prayer that was recorded, that Jesus was praying, you know, for, you know, his disciples. I mean, this was before, he went to the cross. And, you know, these things were in his mind, how he wanted to pray for all his disciples and so forth, you know, and didn't want, you know, I just wanted the Father to protect them. And here's what he said, you know, to arguing even, you know, say on our behalf. He said, look, you know, I mean, all these people are, you know, I've spoken to you on your name. None of them is lost except the son of perdition. I've given them your word, you know, and so forth. And I pray, verse 15, that you take them not out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. They are not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not of this world. Jesus said it himself, you know. Now, sanctify them through thy truth. Now, sanctify, you know, we talked about yesterday, consecration and sanctification. you know, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Oh, I set myself apart and I consecrate myself to the truth, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, this is the consecration that we're talking about here, is setting ourselves apart for the truth. That's right. Because it's the truth, you know, it's through the truth that they might be sanctified. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I myself sanctify myself that they might also be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which have believed on me through their word. So he prayed for all of us down through the ages. Now, I want to talk about, I mean, this was an incredible price that Christ had to pay. You know, all that Christ did, and the whole world will be remembering, you know, Christ's death and resurrection this coming weekend and so forth. But I want to show you a few other times that God put a demand on some people. And, you know, these were prophets, and some of those prophets, they had to do rough things. Now, God doesn't call everybody like this, you know, because, you know, that's really rough sometimes. But, you know, these people, they either had to do it or not do it, you know, and let's see, you know, how some of the things they went through. I mean, it's even unimaginable. Some of the stuff that some of these prophets were put through. You know, let's just look at a few of them. Ezekiel, for instance, you know, Ezekiel, you know, chapter 4, the Lord was telling him many things. You can read the entire chapter for 390 days. You know, he said, look, you know, lie down also upon thy left side. Ezekiel chapter 4 and verse 4. Lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it. They shall bear their iniquity. I've laid upon you the years. Now, this is a kind of, you know, consecration. Just like Jesus said, look, take up your cross and follow me. Now, these ones were called. It was an incredible call to do this thing. And not everybody can go through this, and not everybody is called for this. But this man was called. You know, he said, look, I am going to lay upon you the years of their iniquity according to the number of days, 390 days shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. When I shall accomplish that, then you lie on your side again, on the right side. You do this on the left, you do this on the right. You bear the iniquity of Judah. My goodness, you know, and I've appointed you another 40 days, you know, bear their iniquity, a day for a year. And if you read here all the things that he was supposed to do during that time, the food was limited. The water, you know, that he could eat was also drink, it was also limited. Everything was limited. And God put him through unimaginable stuff, you know, and he even said, look, you know, you have, even when you the bread you will eat, you bake it with dung, you know, in the eyes of the children of Israel. Because I want them to see, you know, all the evil that they're committing. And one man had to bear all of that. Now, you talk about, you know, consecration. You talk about being put through some rough things. Paul one time said, we, the apostles, were like the offscouring of the earth. We're like the filth of the earth. You know, God have made us to go through some stuff, you know. We were persecuted. We're this. We're that. You know, people who go through stuff like that and still keep their heads up, they are sold out. You know, today people don't even hardly go through, you know, anything at all before we start to complain. You know, we complain about everything. You know, just like the children of Israel, they murmured about everything, you know. But, you know, let's read what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll pick it up from about verse 13 or so. And he was saying that, look, sometimes, you know, some of the things that we've had to go through, not every one of them, but he was talking about his call, the call of God upon his life, you know. And he said, look, let me read it from verse 9. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. I mean, there's some things they had to go through. We are made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels and to men. We are fools. For Christ's sake, well, they're sold out, you know, for the Lord. You know, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable. We are despised. Now, that's not the apostles of today. Oh, no. The apostles of today, they are head and shoulders above everybody else. They think of themselves as, you know, the next best thing to sliced bread or however they say. But these real apostles, this is what they think of themselves. Unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted, you know, and have no, you know, I mean, my goodness, no certain dwelling place. Isn't that like what Jesus said? Foxes of the have holes, birds have nests, the Son of Man have no dwelling place. And I said, Paul's saying the same thing here. We labor, walking with our own hands. Do they do that today? You know, being reviled, we bless, we being persecuted, we suffer, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as a filth of the earth, the world, the offscouring of all things unto these days. Well, I mean, he began to say, look, there is a call, there's another kind of consecration that God puts on people. It's a call. And you accept, you go into it. Now, all of us have this call. It's just different degrees. These are some of the, I'm showing you some of the tough ones. You know, we heard yesterday the lesson about, you know, how much of consecration in our lives. Well, I'm going to show you some people who have gone through some things, lest you think, you know, that, you know, being set apart or, you know, denying yourself of this or that is anything. Scripture say you have not yet even resisted blood on, I mean, sin unto the shedding of blood yet. So, you know, what is it? These people went through stuff. You know, you talk about, you know, Isaiah, you know, in Isaiah chapter 20, I mean, the Lord told him, you're going to walk naked. You're going to walk barefoot. You're going to go, I mean, it's just going to be a disgrace, you know, and this was a prophet, a disgrace before everybody. The Lord put this thing upon them. And these are some degrees unknown to people of what God put people through. It's a total, you know, consecration, you know, and they accepted the call. And, you know, they had a choice to say, I'm not going to do it. But they did it. And when we look back today now and say, my goodness, all the things that these people went through, you know, what about me? I mean, what is it that I've done? Lord told him, look, loose the sackcloth from your loins, take off the shoe from your foot, and walk naked and barefoot and so forth. And then 3 years went through the, all the place like that. I mean, it was, you know, I was a shameful man. People even thought he was crazy. I mean, only crazy people go walking naked and barefoot. But that was a prophet's call for consecration. And those prophets, they go through a lot. I'm not talking of people come out and say, I'm a prophet. I'm talking of God's prophets. You talk about wearing camel's skin inside out, the rough side of the skin on you. Elijah. And John the Baptist and all these people. Now, John the Baptist, my goodness, you know, he was a different kind of fellow. I mean, his father was high priest and all of that. I mean, he had the opportunity of, of a good life, so to speak, you know. But, I mean, look at the life he chose. Rough kind of life, you know. And say, this man, wearing camel's hair, camel's skin, you know, and put the rough leather on his girdle. I mean, around his loins. I mean, he was eating locusts and wild honey. I mean, it was like a wild man in the bush, you know. And these are people that thought that each other was crazy. What are you doing out there in the bush? Even Jesus said, what went you out for to see? What did you go out to see? In the bush? You know, a reed shaking with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed with soft linen? Jesus said, no. Those who are clothed with soft linen, they are in kings' palaces. But what went you out for to see? I mean, Jesus continued to ask these people questions about John the Baptist. You can read that in Matthew chapter 11. What went you out for to see? A reed shaking with the wind? You know, verses 7. You know, but what went you out for to see? A man clothed with soft raiment? Behold, there they are with soft raiment. This man was wearing rough camel skin. You know, I mean, why did he do these things? That was a call on his life. You know, now, the Lord's not asking it. I'm not asking anybody to go do that. I'm just trying to show us, you know, some people have gone through some things. You know, I mean, they've gone through all kinds of things that God put these prophets through. I mean, baking your bread on dung, lying on your side for 390 days. You can't even move. I mean, you know, and so forth like that. You know, all you can do is get up and drink water and the bread of affliction and all the things you have to do. Walk naked for 3 years and do barefoot and be like a crazy person, you know, and, you know, on and on and on. What about Hosea? You know, these people, I mean, crazy stuff you might say that God asked them to do. I mean, Hosea, you know how the priests and the prophets and all these people, you know, they're supposed to marry like a clean woman, a virgin, a this, a that, and so forth. You know, but that was not the case for this man. You know, God told him, look, go and choose out of the people of whoredoms, harlot. I mean, harlots in those days were like wasted goods. You know, and the Lord said, yeah, that's whom you're going to have to choose. You know, it's not going to be you know, any clean person and so forth, because I want to demonstrate something. God was putting them, they were acting out some things, you know, for the life of Israel, and they got put it on these people, but they accepted. In Hosea chapter 1, you know, verses 2 and 3, they were told that, you know, the beginning of the word of the Lord to Hosea. The first thing, and the Lord called this man, you know, God didn't even give him an easy task. I mean, right off the bat, he was thrown into, I mean, it's, you know, whirlwind, if you want to call it that. Why in the world do you have to go and marry a harlot? I mean, there's all these, you know, wonderful people that you can choose from. Why would you have to marry a harlot that the whole world has slept with? You know, and, but God put this thing upon him, something he had to do, but he accepted. You know, the good thing was, or the amazing thing is how these people accepted these burdens. That's why they called it in those days, the burden of the word of the Lord. You know, it was upon them. They accepted it. And the Lord said, look, go and take unto thee a wife of the whoredoms and children of whoredoms, you know, and all these, you know, things. That's what you're going to do, you know, and yeah, that's what he did. And people would have looked at him in those days and called him crazy. I mean, he would have been, you know, rejected and despised, because you don't do that. Don't go marry a harlot. That's why you come and say that you're a prophet or you're a priest. You go marry a harlot, you know. And this was a known thing. And, you know, God put these things on these people. They went through this, you know. I mean, you are in the bush all the days of your life eating wild honey. I mean, you can't eat a real meal. You can't wear real clothes. You're wearing camel skin. You know how rough camel skin can be? Wear the rough side on your skin, you know, the smooth side on the outside. That's consecration, ladies and gentlemen. These people were sold out, you know. There's a few other folks that we see that were sold out for the Lord throughout the Bible. You know, I mean, these boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, look, we will not bow down. We don't care. You know, we were sold out. And we read about, you know, Daniel making a choice not to defy himself. Well, these people also made a choice that, look, we put our hands on the plow. We're not looking back. It doesn't matter what it costs. Now, that's total consecration. Now, it'll cost you something. It might even cost you your life. That's why we're told in Revelation 12 and 11, these people, they did not count their lives down to themselves. They were completely sold out. You know, if I die, I die. You know, one young lady called Esther one time said, well, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to go before the king and I'm going to do this. I'm going to ask this thing. If I perish, I perish. Well, Paul and others, they said, look, Paul one time, you know, a prophet called Agabus came and picked up his girdle and said, look, he didn't even know whose it was. He just picked it up and said, well, thus shall they do to the man that owned this girdle. He bound himself hand and foot and so forth. When this man who owns this girdle gets to Jerusalem, he'll be bound hand and foot like this. You know, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. You know, and Paul said, I know it. You know, but you guys don't even try to discourage me. I'm going. And I'm willing to even die when I get there. Now, God already warned him that this was going to happen, but he was sold out. You know, I'm willing to die. Not only to be bound hand and foot, but I am willing to die. Now, this was something that Paul himself once persecuted, you know, but once he saw the light, my goodness, he was all sold out. He would not care for his own life. People are begging him, don't go. And he was saying, look, why are you going to break my heart with all this crying and stuff? You know, I am going. You know, whether I die there or not, doesn't matter. I am going. He knew what he was headed for. But, you know, you're talking about total consecration. You're talking about being sold out for the Lord. You know, now let's compare it to our day. But that was yesterday's lesson, really, is, you know, how do we bring these things back to our day? In our day, I mean, what are the things? We have things too easy, really. I mean, what is it that we have to do that makes us want to give up? You know, compare it to all these things, you know, like in the book of Hebrews, it was talking about these heroes of faith. We look at them as heroes of faith. Some of them were heroes of faith, but I look at them, some of them, as those who were totally sold out. You know, some of them were just totally sold out, you know, thrown to lions' dens. They didn't care. Thrown in the fire. They didn't care. Sunder, they didn't care. Persecuted, done all these things. They didn't care. They were sold out, you know, and they wouldn't hide their faith either as well. You know, they were sold out for Christ. Jesus said, look, if you want to be my disciple, there is a cost. So you might call this also the cost of discipleship. You know, if you want to be my disciple, well, there is a cost. What will you do? There are many places in the Bible, you know, that the Lord said this. You know, in Luke 9:23, he said it. In other places, he said it. He said, look, if any man will come after me, be my disciple. So Luke 9:23, you know, let him deny himself. Well, what is deny yourself? Well, there are some things today, the reason we, you know, don't follow through with what the Holy Spirit is telling us is because we can't deny ourselves. You know, I mean, you look at your own comfort, you know, or, you know, shame that you might get if you do this thing. You might be rejected. I mean, young people today, they want to be liked by all their friends. So they're not going to stand up for Christ. You may be in the same way. I mean, maybe you love your job. Maybe you love you shy away from whatever it is. I mean, you don't want your neighbor to think meanly of you or whatever it is. And we just shy away. And Jesus said, look, but if you will follow me, if you will deny You got to deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Now, that's the part I'm talking about here. The cross that some of these people have to bear, lie on your side for hundreds of days, bake your bread on dung's thing, camel's dung, cow dung, human dung, all these things, read it for yourself. Ezekiel chapter 4, all the things you had to go through. You know, walk naked for 3.5 years, barefoot, be like a crazy person, go marry a harlot, do all these things. Well, you have to deny your own place, your own will. I mean, we got this thing called free will. But Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will be done. Now, you talk about consecration. You give up your own will. That's total consecration. And that's a place where we must get to. This is what God is calling us. I thank God that we went through tons of scriptures yesterday that showed us these things. I'm not going to go through a lot of scriptures today, but I want to bring this angle. Look, there is a thing that God may put a demand on us. Look, and for the most part, he doesn't demand too much from us. You know, he died for us. All he wants from us is to live for him. He's not even asking us to die necessarily, but you got to die to flesh. We know that. But it's not everybody is called to be a martyr. You know, some people may be, you know, God may or may not save you from it. We don't know. I mean, we've heard the story of the Columbine shooting many years ago here in the United States. We heard all kinds of things. I mean, that's been placed even with her stories in Nigeria. You know, where people, you know, with some crazy, you know, Islamic jihadists and all these things will go in a place and want to kill everybody. And if you identify yourself as a Christian, you're dead. You know, some people stand up. Some people don't. Now, you know, what's it going to be? Well, it's a difficult thing. Don't pound your chest and say, well, I know I will never do give up. I never give in. I never do this. Well, Peter thought the same way. I don't care if the whole world denies you. I'll never do that. I will even die for you. He thought so, but he couldn't do it. You know, he wasn't completely sold out. And that's why he cried bitterly. He wasn't sold out. And he wasn't in that place of total self-denial. This is what this total consecration is all about. You know, set apart 100% for the Lord. And you just give him. He puts a demand on your time. He can do it too. We're told that we are bought with a price. We're not our own. You know, we're bought with a price. That makes us slaves. People don't like to hear that kind of line of thinking. But that's the way it is. You are bought, me and you, lock, stock, and barrel, by price that Jesus paid for us. And he can put a demand on your time, on your life even, if he wants to do that. On my life, he can do it. You know, and, you know, a lot of people put demands on our time, but they don't really have that kind of leverage like Christ had. You know, your job may put a demand on your time. Your spouse, your children, your parents, your friends, and all these things, but none of them, you know, have the justification like the Lord. The Lord laid down his life for you and for me. And so now we are bought with a price, and he can put a demand, you know. Now, so when we go into real consecration fasting and things like that, coming up here at the end of this week, what we are wanting to do is, Lord, let me just lay down, break me down, Lord. You know, all the defense systems that I have inside of me that automatically go up, you know, self-preservation and all of these things. Now, these things, human beings are wired for self-preservation most of the time. It's when a demonic spirit comes upon somebody, that's when they try to take their life, their own life. For the most part, you know, normal people have this sense of self-preservation wired inside of them. I mean, nobody in their right mind is going to jump in front of a moving train, you know, run in front of a speeding car, or go jump from a cliff or things like that. But when a demonic spirit gets in them, yeah, then they begin to do that. So most people, you know, but Jesus is saying, look, when you come after me into the kingdom, you're going to have to forget that. Now, we're not telling anybody to go take their own lives. But Jesus is saying, look, you've got to get to the point where you count your life as nothing. And if you do that, you get it back. But when you're still protecting your life, and the reason you don't want to do something is because what you think it might do to you, well, this lesson says that you're not fully, totally consecrated yet. That's for you. That's for me. So all of us, we're not in a place of total consecration just yet, you know, when we are not fully sold out. You know, there was a man, you know, the one time, you know, that, I mean, we've read the story of people, you know, people who, you know, give up everything. He said, look, one man, Jesus went to his house, was a tax collector and everything. And when he said, look, I'll give up everything. I return everything that I had taken from everybody. You know, and he began to have a turnabout. You know, there are some people that have had dramatic calls in their lives for repentance. Some people not so dramatic. But it's not just one day being dramatic, but can we stay committed to the Lord all our lives? Can we do that? Can we take our cross and carry it? You know, I mean, there was this man called Arthur Blessed. He decided to, you know, for about 50 years or more, carry the cross around the world. I mean, he literally, you know, God put a call on his life. And you might know his story, and he just decided he's going to do it. You know, I mean, he wanted to literally carry that cross. Well, Jesus said it figuratively, but this man literally did it. My goodness, now that was some consecration. And there were a lot of people, you know, different places that have, you know, given up so many things and so much for the Lord, but it's nothing really compared to what Christ gave up for us. So today's lesson is about total consecration. Can we be totally sold out for the Lord, whether anybody follows you or not? Whether you're all alone in Gethsemane, whether there's anybody with you or not, can you do it? You know, I mean, people are always concerned about others. Jesus is just talking to you. It's unto you only. Jesus said to Peter, you know, feed my lambs, follow me, feed my lamb. I mean, these things and so forth. Three times he told him. And Peter turned around and said, well, what about John? Jesus said, what about John? You know, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to John. You know, what about John? And this is the thing. You know, when we're still wondering about others, we're not yet fully committed, you know, to the place where you're just sold out. Total consecration. You may be all alone. Doesn't matter. And most of the time, you will be all alone. Total consecration is not a group call. It's never a group call. A lot of people might end up doing the same thing, but it's an individual thing. And Peter thought it was Peter, James, and John were always hanging out. You know, so it's like, okay, well, if you are doing all these things, you know, what's John going to do? Jesus said, that's not your concern. You know, I'm just talking to you. I'm not talking to John. You know, you focus on what I'm telling you here. So that's the problem, you know, sometimes, you know, that we face. It's like, well, you know, what about John? You can read that story in John chapter 21. You know, and Jesus said unto him, look, if he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow me. It's none of your concern. You know, because, you know, Jesus was already telling Peter here, how he's going to die. You know, and he said, well, what about this man? Don't worry about that. You are not, you know, and everybody carried a rumor that Jesus said John would not die, but that's not what he said. He just said, look, if I will that he tarry, what is that to you? You know, so, and Peter, there was some things, some hard things, you know, Jesus said to him this, look, John 21 and verse 18, very, verily I say unto you, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wilt. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth your hands, and another shall guard thee, carry thee whithersoever, you know, thou wouldest not. Now, nobody understood this thing. Perhaps not even Peter at the time. But John, by the Holy Ghost, gave us the interpretation of this thing that Jesus was saying. Here's what he said in verse 19. He said, this spake Christ, signifying by what death, you know, that he should die. I was telling Peter, you know, and I said, well, what does that mean? John explained it by the Holy Spirit. So Peter said, well, what about John? And Jesus said, what about John? You know, so this is a call alone, the consecration, and we can help others, we can help one another by encouraging ourselves, admonishing one another, provoking one another unto good works and so forth. But it's still your decision and it's still God's call upon your life. That's it. It's your life. It's your decision. You can choose to not do it. I mean, in Acts chapter 9, we read the story of how Jesus accosted Saul on the road to, you know, Damascus and said, why are you persecuting me? And so forth. And he was stricken down from his horse and so on, and light around him was blinded and everything. You know, but it was still Paul or Saul's choice at that time. You know, Saul still had to say, Lord, what will thou have me do? You know, no matter how God puts it upon you, it's still your call. It's his call first, but it's your call to accept. Will you accept the mantle? Well, Ezekiel did. And God put him through some rough things. You know, Isaiah did, and God put him through some rough times. Hosea, they all went through rough times. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, you know, she accepted something that put her into complete disgrace. Because everybody thought that she had played the whore. I mean, they know that she was only betrothed to this man and not quite married yet. And so you cannot be pregnant. And so she had to try to hide herself and everything. It was a disgrace upon her life for carrying the Christ. Well, that may be disgrace upon your life for carrying the Christ today, you know, but are you going to go through with it? Even her betrothed husband, Joseph, was going to put her away. This lady had played the whoredom, you know. The angel of the Lord had to come and straighten him out. No, she didn't play any whoredom. It was a power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I tell you what, we can look back at those things now and think it's easy to understand. That was difficult to accept. All of a sudden, you're just pregnant. Nobody ever heard of such a thing. Who ever heard of such a thing? Can you just be pregnant? There's no such thing. She was labeled, became a stigma and everything, all that she had to go through. Well, you know, but she accepted the call. Be it unto me according to your word. Hallelujah. You know, and once she accepted that call, the word was made flesh in her. That very moment that she received it. Glory to God. You know, now, will you accept the call? There's a call on your life for total consecration. Will you accept that call? It's a call on my life. It's a call on yours. You know, Jesus said, look, you got to leave everything and follow me. And one man said, well, I can't. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. And Jesus even said, look, let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me. The man couldn't do it. And I said, well, I got to do this, I got to do that. I said, well, if you come in into the kingdom and you keep looking back, you're not fit for the kingdom. Now, those are strong words from the master. Now, let's examine ourselves today. Are we fit for the kingdom? Have we put our hands on the plow? And are we looking straight ahead or are we looking back? I mean, have we dilly-dallied on this decision to stand up for Christ no matter what? Well, it may cost you a lot of things. And it will cost you. Praise God. You know, so what will you give in exchange for the call of God on your life? Jesus said one time, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, that was Jesus' statement. I'm saying it today this way to yours. What will you give in exchange for the call of God on your life for consecration? You've already accepted the call to give your life to Christ. That's a good first step. And we praise God for that. I've done that too. So that's good. Praise the Lord. Well, but there is a demand from the Lord upon our lives every day. We can't just pick the days of the week where the Lord can have demand on us. Say, well, 6 days a week, I give to Caesar. And then I'll give you this 1 hour, you know, on Sundays. Well, that may be good, but may not be good enough. You know, and that's the way for many of us, even the 1 hour or 2 hours on Sundays, you know, like at our local church here in Phoenix, except for, you know, online phone prayer here and there. We only have one real service a week in person now since COVID. And still people drag their feet on that 1 day for service. Service starts at 10 o'clock. Some people waltz in there at 11:15 or 11, whatever, you know. It's just a couple hours, you know, and then they still complain that the service ran too long. You know, I'm like, okay, well, yet, you know, for 6 days a week, you can get up in the morning, you can go to work, you'll be there on time, you do all of these things. You know, if you're not going to be there on time, you call ahead, you know, to your boss. If you're going to miss your schedule, you make regular plans, you switch out with someone. I mean, you do all these things, you know, so diligently on the job that pays just carnal wages. But the wages of eternal life, you know, a call of God on our life, we just handle these things as if it doesn't matter. The attitude to people to things of God is like, it doesn't really matter. You know, and it's like we're doing God a service or a favor. You know, really, doing God a favor. We think we're doing something for God. You know, like, you know, well, you know, I mean, we think we're just doing something for God. Yeah, and when we're not yet sold out, if that's our mindset. So that's our lesson today. Let's examine ourselves and see whether we are sold out. Now, you're not necessarily called to be a prophet like Ezekiel and go through those things. Yours may be a little thing. Maybe all the Lord is asking you to do is, you know, stand up wherever you are for the truth. You know, and it may cost you something. It's going to cost you something. You got to make up your mind, you know, whether you are willing to pay the price. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we heard one of our sisters several months ago, you know, her job. And she was said, well, you can't be saying this. You can't be saying that. Well, it cost her job, you know, and for months she was without a job until the Lord, you know, gave her something else. Well, you know, just because you lose your job for standing out for Christ doesn't mean the next day you're going to get another job. You know, are you willing to go through with it even if you don't get another job next week? People think that, well, if I give something out for the Lord will just automatically give me something better back. Maybe. And maybe not, you know, but even if he doesn't, will you still go through? And that's what the, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. We know that our God is able and he will deliver us. They knew that. There was no question in their mind. Your posture, you know, in knowing that God has got your back, that's non-negotiable. They knew that. They got it. But They also knew something else. This is the sold out part. Even if he doesn't. Now, if I'm willing to go through only because I know he will deliver me, then that's good. But what if he doesn't deliver you? Will you still go through? See, that's the total consecration part. That's a total sold out. So, well, I know he's able to, and he will. But even if he doesn't, that's what Paul said. Look, I don't care if I'm ready to go to Jerusalem, even to die there. You know, it doesn't matter to me. I'm sold out. Praise God. You know, so may the Lord give us that kind of passion. I know some of us, especially the older generation that have been around the Lord for many years, we were actually more sold out when we were younger than we are now. We had that reckless abandon when we first came to the Lord. We didn't care if our parents kicked us out of the house, if they didn't pay our school fees. It didn't matter. We were just on fire for the Lord. Once you got that fire in your soul, Jesus said, look, I'm come upon the earth. I'm come to the earth to ignite a fire. And watch will I if it's already set, already ignited. And we took that fire and ran with it. And you didn't care. It didn't matter. Nobody stood in your face. You set your face like a flint. And you were sold out. Well, enough time passes. You know, maybe we went to school, we got a job, we got married, we got kids, you know. I mean, maybe we settled down to a nice church, you know, a little thing. And then little by little, the fire began to sizzle up and die. And Jesus says, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Unless I come to you and remove your candlestick from its place. So we need to come back. That's why we've been doing some of this ignite, some of this back on fire. And yesterday, powerful consecration series. And so today, you know, I thought I'd bring this same good to the Holy Ghost and to me to bring this to you today, mostly the Holy Ghost, that we should examine these things and see where we stand. I'm going to pray for everyone now, but for myself first. See, now that I have opened my mouth and said these things, I'm in trouble now, because the Bible says that if you preach and you don't do, then you'll be the least in the kingdom. That's why you don't be many of you teachers and rabbi and things like that, because you have a greater condemnation if you don't do those things. Some people want to be a speaker, teacher, this and that. Look, you will have that greater condemnation if you are teaching but not doing. You know, the things which Jesus began both to do and to teach. So Jesus wasn't just teaching. He was doing and he was teaching. And you can read that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. All that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And I remember many years ago, as the Lord was calling me into the ministry, I was a very young man, maybe around 20 years old or whatever. You know, the Lord gave me this scripture as I come into the ministry back then. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. And it says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, you know, and then to teach in Israel statutes and judgments, you know. And I said, wow, Lord, help me. I'm going to teach this word, but I must do it too. You must even actually do it first before you teach it. This is the way that Ezra did it. He desired in his heart, he determined in his heart to seek the law of the Lord, search it out, find out what God's word says and do it. Then teach it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So now, you know, I'm bound by this. I need prayers for myself, because now I should come out here and call for total consecration. So that starts with me. And I'm calling you also to join in total consecration. We're not just talking of 3 days of fasting, not even quite 3 days. Sometimes when we say we're fasting from Friday to Sunday, it's not even 3 days, maybe 2.25 days. And some people can't even do it. Well, what's the price? What's it going to take? You know, what are you willing to pay? What are you willing to give up? You know, to show that you're committed. If the Lord put a demand on your time and say, get up in at 3 a.m. and pray for an hour for lost souls, are you willing to do it? Or you say, well, you know, I can't. Well, the Lord probably was putting a demand on me for some time. I wasn't doing it. Because I guarantee you, I did not like to get up late at night and do any of that stuff or early in the morning. I could stay up. I can go for a night vigil and go all night long. That's fine. I was good with that. But when I went to bed, don't wake me up. Yeah, I'm not going to do it. You know, so, but one day the Lord began to put a call on that area of my life. And well, I ran away from it long enough. I can't do it. You know, I can't do it. You know, I used to tell my wife, I can't do this money thing. You know, but lo and behold, the Lord said, I need that part of your life. Glory to God. And now, praise God, through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, I accepted that call. Now, you know, yours may not be as dramatic, but there's always call of the Lord on our lives all the time. It's not just call to ministry. It's not just call for you to become an apostle or become a prophet or pastor or this and that. You know, people think that's the only call. No. The Lord will put a call on your life anytime. He can do it. Something he wants you to do, which you don't want to do, that's a call that is on your life. And will you be sold out? Will you give up everything else? You know, and there may be one thing. There may be that one thing. What is that one thing? So this man came and said, look, master, what is this and that? Jesus told him something. He said, look, I've done all that stuff. You know, and Jesus looked at him and said, Jesus actually loved the man because he had done all the stuff. He had kept everything from his youth and up. But the Lord told him, you know, do this and do that, do this and do that. You know what the Lord says. And the man said, yeah, I've done all of that. And Jesus looked at him and said, yeah, he has actually done all that. And then the Lord looked at him some more and saw something that was in his heart. And he said, well, yet thou lackest one thing. There is one thing that is holding you back from being completely sold out. And the man was just waiting. I mean, you could hear a pin drop, you know, and Jesus dropped it on the man. Well, go sell what you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. Well, that was for that man. God's not telling that to everybody that's here, but maybe he'll tell it to you. I don't know. But that was this man's own Achilles heel, if you want to call it that. That was his problem. His dependency upon his riches. He loved the Lord. He served the Lord. But not with a perfect heart. His heart was yet upon his riches. You know, and so when the Lord brought that out, you know, he went away sorrowful. Because he would not be sold out. And Jesus turned around and said, well, wow. How hardly it is for people who are rich to enter in the kingdom because they trust in their riches. But what is that one thing? Yet thou lackest one thing for total consecration. What is it? Maybe yours is food. Jesus said, look, you know, be careful now lest, you know, the cares of this life surfeit in and drink it. Can you imagine if somebody would miss the rapture just because of overeating? Wouldn't that be the most tragic thing in life? I mean, if you can't even fast and pray, Jesus said, look, be careful now. Surfeiting and drunkenness. You say, well, I'm not drunken. Well, maybe you eat too much. You know, or maybe you eat too often. You know, whatever it is. I mean, the Lord may put a call on our life. You know, and say, look, you know, get yourselves apart for a while. Come and seek my face. Come and talk with me. And he may put a call on you. Will you accept the call? The ones that we do as a congregation, like the one I announced for this weekend, you know, that's because the scripture commanded us to do it. Sanctify a fast. Call it solemn. But you don't have to wait for that on your own. You can do, receive the call. Well, that's our summary for today's lesson. And now I will pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, glory to God. I pray, Lord, that you help us, O Lord. He said, if any man hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. What you are calling for at this time, total consecration. Totally sold out for Christ. And Lord, who can do these things? We can't. There's always one thing, 101 things tugging at us, pulling at us, getting a divided attention. Our hearts are not 100% on you, Lord. But we want to be. We want to be, Lord. So help us in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to be totally sold out for the Lord. Help thou, O Lord, my indecision, my rebellion sometimes. One man said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Lord, I pray that you will help us as you make the call and the demand, even today, upon our lives. Will you drop everything and follow me? Jesus told them, follow me. And they dropped their fishing nets. They dropped everything. They followed him. And you know, Peter even challenged the Lord and said, well, what are you going to give those of us who have dropped everything and followed you? And Lord said, I'm going to give you a lot of things. You have more brothers and more sisters in the Lord, but you'll get some persecution. You got eternal life. You have some things and so on. Lord, I pray that you give us, you know, the grace. David said, I will not offer anything to the Lord that costs me nothing. Well, it's going to cost us something. And may the Lord grant us the grace in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.